Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really fundamental, but honestly, full of surprises: how electric current actually moves through different kinds of matter.
That's right. It's not just about wires.
Exactly. You think electricity, you think wires, right? But it behaves, well, completely differently in a metal compared to a liquid or even a gas.
Totally different mechanisms at play.
So our mission today is to sort of unpack these different disguises electricity wears, how it finds its path, and some of the, frankly, amazing things that happen because of it.
Yeah, understanding these pathways is really key to so much technology.
Get ready for some aha moments, folks, because how electricity gets around is, well, way more intricate than you probably think.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this. How does electricity really get around? Let's start with metals, the familiar stuff.
Right, the basics. Metals are great conductors because they have what we call conduction electrons.
Okay.
Think of them as not tightly bound to specific atoms. They're more like a free-roaming sea of electrons within the metal's structure. It's a crystal lattice.
So they're just milling about.
Pretty much, yeah, bouncing around randomly.
Yeah.
But apply an electric field, like from a battery, and they get a nudge, they start to drift collectively in one direction. That's the electric current.
And this drift velocity, it's fast, like lightning fast.
Ah, see, that's the surprising part. It's incredibly slow. The average drift velocity might only be like a millimeter per second.
Seriously? Millimeters? How does that power anything?
Because there are just so many of them. Billions upon billions moving together, even slowly, creates a significant current.
Wow. Okay. That's counterintuitive. And then you have the really mind-bending stuff, superconductivity.
Oh, absolutely. Superconductors are fascinating. Cool certain metals or alloys below a specific very low temperature, the critical temperature.
Right.
And their electrical resistance just vanishes.
Yeah.
Completely. Zero resistance.
Zero. Like none at all.
None. Electrons glide through without losing any energy. Imagine power lines with no energy loss, or, you know, the super powerful magnets and MRI machines, magnetic levitation trains. It's all based on this. The potential is huge.
Okay, so electrons flow through metals easily, sometimes perfectly, but how do we get them out? Say, for an old TV tube or an X-ray machine?
Good question. You need to give them enough energy to escape the metal surface. That energy barrier is called the work of extraction.
Okay, so how do you give them that energy?
Well, a couple of ways. You can use heat. That's the thermionic effect. Literally boil the electrons off like in old vacuum tubes.
Oily electrons, huh?
Yeah. Or you can use light. Shine light at the right frequency, and the photons knock electrons out. That's the photoelectric effect. It's fundamental to how solar cells work, turning light into electricity.
Okay.
And even just touching two different metals together creates a tiny voltage difference at the junction, the Volta effect. Seems small, but it's crucial for things like thermocouples and other sensors.
That actually leads perfectly into my next thought. How does all this link electricity with, say, temperature changes or chemical reactions? Are there other ways to generate power from these effects?
Definitely. This brings us to thermoelectric effects. The Seebeck effect is a great example. If you have a junction of two different materials and you heat one side while keeping the other cool, you generate an electric current just from the temperature difference. Heat making electricity directly.
Wow. So like thermocouples for measuring temperature.
Exactly. And the reverse happens too. That's the Peltier effect. Pass a current through that junction, and one side gets hot, the other gets cold. Solid state cooling, no breathing parts. These effects even power spacecraft like radioisotope thermoelectric generators using heat from radioactive decay.
Incredible. And converting chemical energy beyond just burning fuel.
Right. That's where fuel cells come in. Think of them like batteries. They have an anode and a cathode, but they don't store the energy chemically in the same finite way.
Okay. How do they work then?
They continuously convert chemical energy, often from hydrogen reacting with oxygen directly into electrical energy. As long as you supply the fuel, it's potentially much cleaner, more efficient, often just producing water as a byproduct.
Fascinating stuff. Okay, so we've covered solids pretty well. But electricity in liquids and even gases, that feels like a whole different ballgame.
It really is. Take electrolytic solutions, like salt water or battery acid. The charge isn't carried by free electrons like in metals. It's carried by ions.
Myons, so like charged atoms.
Exactly. Atoms or molecules that have lost or gained electrons, giving them a positive or negative charge. When you apply a voltage, these ions move through the liquid, carrying the current.
And that's electrolysis, using electricity to cause chemical changes.
Precisely. Like pleating chrome onto a bumper or splitting water into hydrogen and oxygen. There are exact rules. Faraday's law tells us just how much chemical change happens for a given amount of current and time. The Faraday constant links it all up.
Okay, and this is how batteries work too, right? Like the ones in our phones.
Fundamentally, yes. Your typical dry cell or the lithium-ion battery in your phone, those are technically accumulators. They store energy via reversible chemical reactions involving ions moving through an electrolyte. Their capacity tells you how much charge they can deliver.
Right, capacity. Makes sense. Okay, last one. Gases. How does electricity flow through air or neon in a sign? Gases are usually insulators, aren't they?
They are, normally. But if you introduce an ionizing agent, could be cosmic rays, strong radiation, or just a really high voltage.
Uh-huh.
You can knock electrons off the gas atoms or molecules. This creates free electrons and positive ions. Now you have charge carriers.
Then that leads to
an electrical discharge. If the conditions are right, these charged particles move, creating a current. We often see this as light, that luminous emission you get from a neon sign, a fluorescent tube, or even lightning. It's a glow discharge, essentially.
Mm.
Even old cathode ray tubes relied on a beam of electrons accelerated through a near vacuum.
Wow. So it's this incredible range from that smooth, almost perfect flow in superconductors to ions swimming through liquids and batteries to these energetic flashes and gases.
A huge spectrum, yeah.
Understanding these differences, it really does seem to open up a massive world of technological possibilities.
It really does. And maybe this raises an important question for you to think about. How could manipulating these very different ways electricity moves, you know, harnessing the flow in metals versus ions in solutions versus discharges in gases, how could that lead to totally new innovations?
Mm.
Think about it. These basic principles are already behind everything from your phone battery, like we said, to powering spacecraft millions of miles away.
Mm.
What else could we unlock if we get even better at controlling these diverse electrical pathways?
Something to ponder.